Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
It's going to be a good one. I'm excited. I always love preaching on Sundays. Doesn't matter how many people are here. Trust me, there's been times where I've snuck in here and there's nobody in here and I've preached. So, all throughout the week. But this morning I'm going to be talking about comeback story. I love comeback stories. I'm a big sports guy. So, you know, a lot of sports movies are the comeback story, right? I love them so much. But I have this perspective that what is the most important part of the comeback story is where you go after the comeback. I mean, because what is it? You start off low, right? The lowly, you know, not talented, not good, whatever it may be. And then they rise to the top. Well, then what good is it if you just kind of fall back down? You know, so I always found it to be, you know, the movies are one thing. You enjoy the movie because it ends and you don't get to see what happens after the comeback. You know, you just see the comeback. But I think about in real life, what happens after the comeback? Where do we go after the comeback? That always seemed to be what was most important to me, is you did the process, you did the work to get back on top. But where do you go after that? And, you know, the Bible is full of comeback stories because, you know, we serve a God that brings us right back. You know, there's the prodigal son. There's all sorts of different stories. There's Paul in the New Testament, where he was Saul and then he became Paul. He persecuted Christians and then, you know, then it goes on to write, you know, a whole bunch of the New Testament. Like, that comeback story is awesome, and I feel like that's the one I've heard the most in my life is the story of Paul. But as you dive deeper into the Word and into the Bible, there's another comeback story that I think, as I kind of like discovered it a little bit more, as I read some of the details, as I looked a little further, a little deeper, there's a comeback story in here that resonates with me a little bit more. Maybe because I can relate to him more. And that's Peter. That's Peter, his comeback story. You know, I just relate to him more. Maybe it's because he's a hot-tempered, hardworking fisherman. I don't know. But, I mean, I don't always work hard, but when it comes to fishing, I'll work hard. But maybe that's why I relate to him a little bit more. I don't know. But I also relate to him because he was, like, the first disciple. He's the one Jesus brought him, and he lived life with Jesus as a disciple, watching him, walking with him, living this life, seeing the Savior work. And for those that don't know, I grew up as a pastor's kid. I've been in the church all my life. It's just kind of how I was raised. So I kind of relate to him in that manner, that it's like, you know, maybe not his entire life, but for as long as he knew, he was walking with Jesus. He was walking with Jesus. He saw how this was. But then came the day. Then came the day where he denied Jesus. He denied Jesus. Though he walked with Jesus, he talked with Jesus, he was a disciple of Jesus, he lived this life with him, he denied him when it came to this public moment. This moment of, you know what, probably what Jesus was training him for, to share the gospel, to spread the word, to preach. And here comes the moment. People are like, you know, he didn't even have to start from scratch. They gave him a question. They asked him. You can read the account in Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 69. I'm not going to read all of it, but it goes through and, you know, he just says, I don't know what you mean. They ask him, you know Jesus. You were with Jesus. You walked with, you knew him, right? I don't know what you mean. I don't know what you're talking about. What? Who? Jesus. What? No. Oh, Jesus. I don't know what you're talking about. He didn't say all that, okay? Kind of playing it up, you know? But he denied him three times. This is the moment of kind of the the nosedive, as it were. And I think maybe that's in my own life, as much as I've grown up in the church. How many times have I denied Jesus? How many times have I denied him? I think about that in, you know, I feel that nudge to send somebody a text, an encouraging text message, or check in on them. Because maybe last time I saw them or I heard that maybe they were going through something, or maybe I just felt the need, you know what, I should text them and let them know, hey, I'm praying for you, here for you, so on and so forth. But, you know, I think I'm just going to sit here and scroll through Facebook. I'm going to scroll through Instagram. Or I'm just going to, you know, message somebody else and we'll talk about something that I care about. I just kind of, and then I forget about it and so on. Or, you know, the game's on. Football season is over, but the game's on and I kind of feel that nudge to like, hey, maybe you should, you know, read your Bible a little bit. Go spend some time in prayer and in worship. You know, like, hey. And I'm like, well, there's enough hours in the day. The game will be over soon enough. In all these moments that I deny Jesus, it may not be somebody coming up to me and being like, hey, you go to that church, right, up at the Super 8? And I'm like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. No, I don't do that. I haven't done that. But are there times where I maybe could share what I do for a living or where I what I spend my Sundays doing? What, you know, the weekends, I mean, right, the old adage, pastors only work on Sundays, right? So Saturdays, you know, people want to do something. And I'm like, well, I can't stay out late on a Saturday. I got work in the morning. And a lot of times people don't even ask the question, but it's like, maybe I should say where I work. Maybe I should say what I'm doing. And all these moments where I deny Christ. And I feel like that's maybe where I relate to Peter so much. You know, Paul's story is amazing. Saul, he persecuted Christians. He went after Christians. It's such an inspirational, motivational story to see him go from Saul to Paul. He loses his sight. He can't eat. Then Ananias comes down and all this. All that's really cool, but it's, I can't say I've been in those shoes. But Peter, ooh, I'm in those shoes right now. I've grown up in the faith. I've grown up in the church. I've walked with Jesus. Yet I still come to that moment where, what do I do? I don't know what you mean. And it's this struggle and it's this battle. But see, that's the moment of the past. That's in his history. Because then what do we see? We see Peter. Ooh. We see how great he becomes. He didn't let this moment defeat him. He didn't let this failure rob him of the future. See, that's what I really want to emphasize. Not so much the denial and your failures and your past mistakes and all this stuff. Because understand, that's in the past. We don't live in the past. We live now, and our future is what we give. See, because our comeback is when we come back to Christ, when we come back to Jesus, and we experience salvation through repentance. That is but one moment. God sends us. I always love the parallel in the New Testament of Jesus when he comes across a lame person. Somebody that can't walk. Just clarifying. Not just somebody that's uncool. Okay. When he comes across somebody that can't walk, he doesn't just say, okay, stand up, you're good. There's moments where we read, and what he does is the worldly ailment that keeps him pinned down, much like us and our worldly carnal desires that keep us pinned down and paralyzed. A lot of those things. What he does is he tells us to get up and walk. It's not just get up. It's get up and go. Do something. See, our comeback, it's not just about the moment of salvation and repentance, though that is the start. That is the turning point. That is the moment. But after our comeback, where do we go? What do we do? Where do we go? See, that's what I'm talking about, that perspective that I just have always had of the comeback is really cool. And I love salvation stories, and I love seeing it, but I love seeing what they do with it after. Where do they go? Because look at Peter. Look at Peter. He becomes like a founding father of the church. He becomes the founding father of the church. Not only that, I mean, if you really want to look at it, I mean, he's one of the reasons why we're all even here. Why? Because he went to Cornelius. Who's Cornelius? Cornelius, a lot of people believe he is the first Gentile to be saved. Because Peter had a vision from God of God telling him to get up and go eat this food, eat that food. And Peter says back to God, he's like, but that food, according to the Mosaic law, is unclean. You can't eat that. And God tells him, do not call unclean what I have called clean. And what he's talking about is that he didn't just come for the Jews, he came for the Gentile. And so Peter goes, and he goes to Cornelius, and he's a Gentile, and we see him become saved and baptized. And that is why we're here, because I'm not Jewish, but I could be saved. I could be saved. And Peter was influential in this. He was influential in this. See what he became. He didn't just, oh, I'm forgiven for denying Jesus, all right, and then just stand around in the waiting room. No, he went to work. He went. He listened. He had vision. He did what God called him to do. See, that's what happens when you do not live in the past. You live in the now, and you give your future. Because in that moment where Peter denied Jesus, what he's thinking of is, I kind of got to save my own skin because Jesus, it ain't looking so good over here. So what he did for his own livelihood, his own future, he took it into his own hands. He took it into his own hands and he denied Jesus. But the moment later on came where he gave his future to God. And we see what he became. We see what he became, founding the church, performing miracles and the Gentiles and breaking that barrier. And we see what he became when he gave his future to God. Rather than taking it into his own hands. My own plan. I got it figured out. Life is good right now. There's nothing to really complain about. So I'm going to keep doing what I want to do. I'm going to keep planning things. But then we see how we deny him in maybe our daily living, in our pride, in our anger, in all these moments and how we deny Jesus. But understand that comeback moment of salvation. Of salvation, repentance, that turning point. But where do we go after that? Because I'm telling you what, we give our future to God, he is going to call you to something greater. He's going to call you to something bigger than the mountain you face. He's going to call you to something that is greater than your fear. He is going to call you to go farther than your own endurance will take you. Why? Because we all have something to share. We all have something to give. Not everybody's going to be a pastor, no. But we are all a witness. We are all a witness to what he's done in our life. I'm going to share a phrase with you guys, as long as you don't tell on me. All right? This is a phrase that I say semi-often. Semi-often. It depends on the crowd I'm in, but I'm going to trust you guys. Crap grows crops. It's true. Cornfield. You drive by in summer in the heat and you get a whiff real quick. But what that is the crap you've gone through, the stuff you struggled with, the mistakes you've made of your past and all these different things, you don't live there anymore. But guess what? God is able to take that and use it to grow crops in somebody's life. It's called sharing your testimony. It's called sharing what God's done. Because that stuff you went through, though it can hurt and sting a little bit, and I don't want to rip that scar open. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to let somebody in and trust them with my secret or trust them with this. I don't want to. See, that's you controlling your future. instead of giving your future to God. So guess what? The seeds that we sow will not always produce fruit that me and you eat. It'll be somebody else's fruit. I sow seeds, and guess what? I may never see it in my lifetime. I never maybe even see it in my life, but I'm going to share my story, even though it may be a little tough, and I may not really reap fruit from it. But guess what? Somebody else's life is going to be different because God can use it to grow something in their life, to set them free. See, we overcome the evil one. Blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus. He did his part. Now where are we at? Where are we at? To share our testimony, to go. See, the comeback story is great, and I love it because it shows just how gracious and awesome and loving our God is and merciful that he would accept us back, that he would bring us back, that the comeback happens, that we'd start off low, that we would start off lost, that we'd start off broken, tripped. But guess what? He picks us back up, and he sets us on the path, dusts us off, and he shows us the way. And as long as we continue on the way, keeping our hand to the plow, not getting distracted left and right, it's where we go after that. It's where we go after that. I had a conversation with a friend, and they were talking about how they, you know, life is good, and my relationship with God is well. Like, I feel alive a little bit. You know, I feel good, but there's just something. I'm feeling a little anxious. I'm feeling a little something. I don't know. And I was like, that's your question mark. God has given you something. You got to do something. You got to exercise something. You got to work out a little bit. I'll tell you, I've been married for a little while now, you know, like a really long time. So here's your marriage lesson of that. No, I'm kidding. That's a total joke. Because what I've learned through the process is even those that have been married a very long time still haven't figured it out entirely. But it's great. It's fun. It's exciting. But I'll tell you what, I can tell when, you know, we need to, like, go to the gym. Because we both got gym memberships. We like to stay active, you know. Yeah, it's working. Don't worry about it. No, we like to stay active. But it's like, you know, dinner and a movie every night because we don't have a dining room. So it's sit on the couch. Might as well put on a movie or TV show or something. Well, I could tell that we probably should have gone to the gym when we sit down, put on a movie, and all of a sudden it's like, 2 minutes in, get up, switch this, get up, do this, get up, do that. She's moving nonstop. It's like, could you just sit down and watch the movie? You're giving me anxiety. Like, you're making me feel anxious. It's like, I just feel like I didn't do anything today. I got to do something. Like, she's just anxious. She wants to do something. And it's like, okay, well, something's missing there. And in our Christian walk, in our walk with God, it's more than just keep giving me grace, keep feeding me grace, keep feeding me grace, keep. Yes, we need that, but guess what? We also got to go. We got to go. We got to exercise. We got to work. We got to do a little something. It's one of the greatest, you know, quotes I think I've ever heard from a human being. It was when I was in college, Dr. Watson. What a name. But he said, you know, the church is not a refrigerator to keep the saints from spoiling. We're not meant to just sit here and just, well, I'm just maintaining the whole time, making sure that I'm all right. No, we're a hospital for the broken. Meant to reach people, go after people, share our story, serve in some way. And you know what? The truth of the matter is when we refuse to serve or refuse to share, what we are doing is denying Christ, denying Jesus, denying him in our own life, and denying him from entering somebody else's. Now, I don't want that to be condemning. I don't want that to be painful, though it may be. It may hurt a little bit. It may sting a little bit. But it makes me think, now we're going to jump over to Paul when he was Saul. And when he came to his moment of, I'm doing something wrong, guess what? he was blind for 3 days. He couldn't eat and he couldn't drink and he was blind. A lot of the time, when we come to our moments, we become blind and we get lost in our own folly, lost in our own desires, lost in our own wrapped up in this world and our carnal, and I want to do this and I want to do that. And though some of those things seem just, but they're not it. They're not your purpose. They're not your identity. And we can become blind to that. And what it takes is Ananias to come and pray with you. What it takes is a brother, a sister to come and show you, lead you, share with you. And I'll tell you what, I am thankful for my brothers and sisters that have done that for me when I've become blind. So for my sake, don't deny Christ. Because what you share, what you do, what your story is, what he's urging and nudging you to do is to help somebody. To help somebody. And if we all just continued to deny him, we'd get lost so fast. Because, yeah, it takes a brother. It takes a sister. It takes a friend. That's what it takes. But if my sister, my brother, my friend is denying Christ, my sight will never come back. But it's going to take somebody acting the will of God out. From their comeback, where do they go? From your comeback, where are you going to go? Because you, there's a vision, there's a plan, there's a calling in your life. Don't just settle for the comeback. That's why, you know, I respect certain athletes so much. It's because if you win one championship, okay, that's sweet. But if you win two, and then you win three, and then you win four, it's the consistency. It's not just I made it to the peak once and I went right back down to the bottom. It's I kept going. I took what I learned. I don't live there. I live now, and I give my future to God, and I'm going to keep rising. I'm going to keep climbing. I'm going to keep going, spreading the gospel with a kingdom perspective, sharing it with others. Because that's what he's called us to do. So I encourage you this morning, that moment of salvation, that moment of repentance and that turning point, woohoo! Yes! Keep going.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.